Well, hey, I'm Robin. Welcome to East Lake, and we're doing our last week of the Cannonball series. Cannonball is a metaphor. We call this a church for everyone. And the metaphor is, if my relationship with God could look like a cannonball, what would my life be like? What would the impact be like? We've all seen someone do a cannonball. They fly off the high dive, they hit the water, the big splash, and the waves go out. And a cannonball is saying, if God was the person in my life that I always turned to, if he was the one that I felt could always forgive me, if I was all in with Jesus, this is the last week. Now, those commitment cards, they're in your little cup holder there. We'll talk about those at the end. But here's the sentence we've been working in. It's the big idea. You can just jot it on page 48. It's not in your notes, but jot it down. If we decide to give more of our attention to God, he will do amazing things. That's the idea. So we've been doing this what-if thing. What if I was never able to save enough money for vacations? I always had to put it on a credit card. I was always bummed out afterwards. What if I planned a vacation out there 12 months, and this time, before it started, I went to God and said, God, could you help me? This time, I really want to save the money. I don't want to go in debt. So you started praying and asking God to help you. And what if, when you got back from vacation, you said to yourself, whoa, it worked. I mean, this actually worked. What if in your family, you're a parent, you love all your kids, but there's this one child. It's like your personalities don't match. You're never on the same page. You're always arguing. It's like you're always tension with. You love them to death, but it just never seems like you can click with them. You don't want it to be that way anymore. You recognize there's a struggle. What if you went to God and you said, God, I need help with this. Please be all in this area. I want something different with this child. And it was 6 months later you noticed, whoa, it's different. I remember when I was a kid, my mom struggled with alcohol, and it was an every night occurrence. And I remember one night going to bed. I had my sisters into bed, and we're trying to keep the house quiet, and it was just a terror zone, you know. And I was afraid she was going to go outside. What was going to happen? Always embarrassed. What would the neighbors see? I remember this is the first time this ever happened. I remember being in bed, crying out to God. I wasn't Christian. I didn't go to church. None of that. And I remember being in bed. I remember crying out to God, saying, "God, please, I'm at my end of my rope. I don't have any more ideas. Please, God, please, please, please." Of course, I threw in the, "I'll be a really good boy." But other than that, it's like, "I'll be a really good boy if you help me." I remember the next day, I was in the sixth grade. I remember sitting at my desk, and it was all of a sudden it just sort of dawned on me. I was sitting at my desk, and it just sort of dawned on me. It's like, "Whoa, he did it." We got through the night. And here I'm just, wow, God did it. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the amazing things that happen if you include God in your life. Does he want to be involved in your life? When I was teaching my son how to play baseball, we'd go out in the backyard. He had a plastic bat. I had one of those little Nerf balls. I'd get them all lined up, you know, get the bat in the right position. I'd say, "Now hold it right there, son." And I'd back up. I'd say, "Now watch Dad. You know, Daddy's going to throw this ball. Here it comes." You know, I'd Nerf ball. I'd take it back like this. And I would lob it to him, you know. And as soon as it got close, I'd say, "Swing!" You know, and he'd take a swing at it. And he'd hit that ball, you know. And everything was set up. I was trying as hard as I could to get him to hit it. Why? I wanted him to hit it. I wanted him to know that I cared about him hitting it. I was doing everything I could. You know, some people see God like he's throwing curveballs all the time and fastballs and brushback pitches and just trying to knock you down and teach you lessons, and that's not it at all. The picture is he's lobbing things to you perfectly. He knows you. He's like, I knew my son's swing. His left hand is like, I put that ball right there because I wanted him to hit it. Sorry. That was the idea. Now, this cannonball initiative, when Jesus was walking the earth, some people came to him and they said, "What really is different about you? I mean, okay, people get healed and we hear you walk on water, but are you just another religious leader? Are you just another prophet that's going to come through? Are you just some kind of a guru? Like, why is it going to be different being with you?" Now, here's what it says in the Bible. It's not in your notes, but I'll read it to you. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Here's what he was saying, real simple. He was saying, think of me like a vine, and you're a branch. And the vine is going to give the life to the branch. power to the branch. It's going to cause the branch to grow. It's going to cause the fruit to come up on the branch. As long as you stay connected to me, it's not about trying super hard, keeping rules, jumping through any hoops. It's not about that. He's saying, here's why it's different with me. If you just stay connected to me. And that's what we've been talking about in Cannonball. Now, why do we say 100% participation, right? It's the first thing in your notes. That's been the big goal the whole time. 100% participation, saying everybody get a cannonball, everybody jump in, everybody see something happen in your life. Here's why. From God's perspective, our life looks very different than maybe we see it or other people see it. 100% participation means that all you have to do is participate with your cannonball. Do you know if you do your cannonball, you'll get the results you're supposed to have and so will other people? That's all. It's like your thing. Your relationship with God, it's your thing. One person said it like this. It'll come up. I want to read it to you. Most of us, whether we are aware of it or not, do things with an eye to the approval of some audience or other. That audience may be our friends, bosses, peers, or social media followers, but only one audience matters. Years ago, we hired this man to come on our staff. This is a big church now. It had lots and lots of staff people. My job was to oversee the staff. We hired this man to come onto our staff, and he was also going to oversee the building project that we're doing, build one of our buildings and do other things. And at first, it seemed great, and then I started noticing when I did reviews and as I watched his work, he had a hard time keeping up with the pace that we were on. And at first, it wasn't a big deal, but then it seemed like he was getting further and further behind, and his assignments were late, and other things that were supposed to happen weren't happening on time. And I started to get frustrated. I was like, come on, man, pick it up a little bit. We're all running here. And one night, God gave me a dream. This is a true story. God gave me a dream. In the dream, I was in the stands, and I was looking out onto a track that kind of goes around a football field, and I noticed this group of people running. And like God was at the controls. All of a sudden, he zoomed me in a little closer, and this group of people is running side by side, perfect pace. And I go, wow, that's the staff. That's the team right there. Look at them. They're doing great. And then out of the corner of my eye in this dream, I see Glenn like 40 yards back. I'm like, oh, look at Glenn. You know, same old thing. Can't keep up with the pack. Going too slow. He's going to slow him down or whatever. And then God zoomed me in like even further. It was like he just zoomed everything. The cameras were just on Glenn. And I'm looking at it. And as I looked at him, I saw the sweat just flying off his face. And his arms were going so fast. And he was a bigger guy. I mean, everything was moving and shaking, and his knees were up high. And I mean, this dude was like on full tilt. He was running as fast as he possibly could. And that's when God said to me, that's how I see Glenn. And boy, was it a lesson for me. I started to see other people different, myself different. I started to realize, you know what's really important is what does he say? How does he see things? What's his perspective? He's my audience. Now, that's cannibal. That's why nobody has to be freaked out for those cards that are here, the commitment cards, because that's your thing. You have your own audience. It's your walk with God. It's your relationship. It's your cannibal. Now, if I stay connected, what'll happen? Let's take some notes together, right? Number one. We choose relationship over religion. I'm not going to read all that in your book today. You can read it later. But here's the point I want to make. With religion, and maybe you've seen it before, it's one size fits all. So when you get involved in religion, any religion, I'm not bashing on any particular one, just religion in general, or a spirit that can creep into anything, one size fits all. And you'll notice everybody starts to look the same. They start to dress the same. They have like the same diet. They go to the same movies. They raise their kids the same. They drive the same cars. They talk the same. Why? Because it's really important to look like everybody else and conform and be like everybody else. I mean, in religion, it's one size fits all. Now, relationship, and that's way different. Do you know what your relationship with God should look like? You. God made you a certain way. It wasn't by an accident. He didn't like just throw you together. He's like, wow, here's the girl I want to have a relationship with. And he made you a certain way. And your relationship with him won't look like anybody else's because it's not one size. Do you know there's not one way to be a parent? There's not one way to be a friend. There's not one way to be a sister or a brother. There's not one way to be a wife or a husband. See, those are relationships that we're in, and they look like us. your relationship, my relationship will look like me and God. It's not one size fits all. It's a relationship. And when you're connected to Jesus, get disconnected, and you start to look for markers and religious hoops and rules and something to make me feel like I'm going to be okay, but stay with Jesus and have a relationship. One guy put it this way. I thought it was pretty good. He's a pastor and author. He said, a while back, a man came into my office and said, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm going anywhere in my spiritual growth. I'm kind of stuck in neutral. I said, what do you think the problem is? He said, I think my problem is I just don't love God enough. I said, that's not your problem. Your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is that you don't understand how much God loves you. It's a relationship. So that's the first thing we're going to say. Stay connected to Jesus and have a relationship, not a religion. Number two, we choose risk over comfort. So here's the thing. When I'm comfortable, I'm not wanting to take a risk. Don't we normally risk when we can see some sort of reward? And if I'm super comfortable and I don't see a reward or there's nothing that I see that I want, then I'm really not going to take a risk. The first rule of motion for all you academics, it says, a body in motion stays in motion, but a body at rest stays in rest. That's me on Sunday afternoons, NFL season. At rest, on my couch, I stay there. Not going anywhere. But isn't it like that when it comes to comfort? You get a little bit comfortable, and now you're at rest, and you won't move. And you can't see the reward of moving. Here's an analogy. Didn't really happen, but think about this. So you wake up, smoke all coming through your house, alarm going off, you know, everybody's screaming and yelling. You're like, whoa, there's a fire, you know. So you get everybody rounded up. You run out into the street. Fire trucks coming, neighbors coming out. You're like, did everybody make it? You know, it's like, okay, there's my wife, and there's grandma, family dog. Okay, kids, 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 kids. You start counting those. All the kids are here. Okay, man, you turn around and you're like, whoa. Okay. And then just as you're looking at the flames, your four-year-old cries out, Goldie! My goldfish is in there. Go get him! You turn and look at those flames, and you say, sorry, girl. That's barbecue. I ain't going to go in there for a $2 goldfish. But same story. Lights flashing. Sirens going off. Smoke everywhere. You're trying to make sure everybody gets out. You run into your cul-de-sac. Neighbors are yelling. Trucks coming up. You start, we got wife. We got the kids. Where's grandma? Who saw grandma? Where's grandma at? Where's grandma? Who's got grandma? And then you turn around, you look back in the house. I don't know, I didn't see her come out. What? We didn't get grandma? Now, everything changes. You look at the flames a little different. Like, whoa, wait a minute, man. Grandma's worth going back in trying to get. Here's how one writer talked about it in the Bible about why it's worth it with Jesus. It's in your book. I'm not there yet. Don't you agree? Nor have I become perfect, circle that, good news. But I'm charging on to gain anything and everything the anointed one Jesus has in store for me. And nothing will stand in my way because he has grabbed me and won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I've not arrived, but there's one thing I'm doing. I'm leaving my old life behind, putting everything on the line for this mission. One place in the Bible it says that we live by faith and not by sight. I want to give you a different take on this, just a short video. This is Denzel Washington talking to a group of students that are about to graduate, and check out what he has to say.
I found that nothing in life is worthwhile unless you take risks. You will fail at some point in your life. Accept it. You will lose. You will embarrass yourself. You will suck at something. There's no doubt about it. If you don't fail, you're not even trying. Reggie Jackson struck out 2,600 times in his career, the most in the history of baseball. But you don't hear about the strikeouts. People remember the home runs. Thomas Edison conducted 1,000 failed experiments. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Because the 1,001st was the light bulb. Every failed experiment is one step closer to success. You've got to take risks. Sometimes it's the best way to figure out where you're going. Early on in my career, I auditioned for a part in a Broadway musical. Perfect role for me, I thought. I didn't get the job. But here's the thing. I didn't quit. I walked out of there to prepare for the next audition, and the next audition, and the next audition. But I continued to fail, fail, and fail. But it didn't matter, because you know what? There's an old saying, you hang around the barbershop long enough, sooner or later you're going to get a haircut. So you will catch a break, and I did catch a break. To get something you never had, you have to do something you never did. You got to give it everything you got, whether it's your time, your talent, your prayers, or your treasures. Never be discouraged. Never hold back. Give everything you've got. While it may be frightening, it will also be rewarding. Because the chances you take, the people you meet, the people you love, the faith that you have, that's what's going to define you.
You know, sometimes faith can see something that sight never can. I mean, we might as well just all admit, if we don't see the reward, we're probably not going to risk. And that's okay. And that's where faith comes in, because faith allows me to see something that I can't see with my eyes, and then that allows me to take the risk. Maybe you're here today, and you really want to be a better boyfriend or girlfriend. It's like, now you're in a relationship, you're like, this time it's going to be different. You know, I'm going to be a different person in this relationship, and faith is what allows you to see what's going to occur if you're different. So when the same old things come up, the same old boundaries come up, the same old I'm not going to do it different because I've always done it this way comes up, whenever that happens, you're able to see something different in the relationship. Some people move to Utah and they have family issues or job issues and they know they're supposed to be there. And faith is what allows them to see the reason to stay. Faith is the reason that allows them to go through the difficult things that they're going through, because they can see something different. It's a risk. We've got this big dream. We want to have a family center. You can't see it. There's no building anywhere. There's no land anywhere. Nobody set aside a parcel of ground for East Lake Church and said, well, I know 12 people come this whole day, so we'll give this. You can't see it. But you know what faith sees? A really cool building with a great auditorium to do church services in. And a full-fledged preschool that the community can, sliding scale, so all kinds of different people can afford to go there. After-school programs for kids, a sports field, a counseling department, so when people hit a rough time, they can hear first how much God cares about them and wants to help them. He's going to lob the ball to them. Seminars for marriages and families. It's a hard world we live in. A center. You see that by faith. Faith can see stuff that you can't see with your eyes. What's going on in your finance, your relationship, with your extended family, school, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, I see that. But I want to ask you a question. What does faith say? Because whatever faith says, that's what motivates the risk. Just jot yourself a note somewhere. Faith can see what sight never can. Now, here's an important statement to write down. You don't know God is all you need until God is all you got. You don't know. But when you're willing to take a risk because you could see something different by faith. Now, here's what faith is. Jot this down. Faith means God has got your back. That's all. I don't know if that sounds religious or not to you. It doesn't matter. That's what it means. It means God has my back, and when God has my back, I can take a risk because he's showing me something maybe nobody else can see. You may be at a time in your life where nobody else can see it but you. Take the risk. Now, number three, we choose now over then. Timing is such an interesting thing in life. When to do things, timing, how it all happens. Story about a guy in New York. He's on the subway. He hasn't been feeling good for a couple of days. Then he makes a mistake, and he has chili for lunch. And so he's on the way home now after work. He's on the subway, and this thing is rattling back and forth, rattling back and forth, rattling back and forth. He's like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it to my stop. I'm starting to feel like I could get sick any minute. You know, he starts looking around like where he might go if he gets sick. You know, he's like, whoa, I don't know, I'm definitely not going to make it. You can feel the chili coming on, you know. And all of a sudden the train stops and the door opens up. He says, I got to get off right now. I'm going to get sick. And he runs towards the door, and just as he gets there, he can't make it. He pukes all over the guy standing first in line. And then the door shuts and the car leaves. Well, the first thing he thinks, he's on the inside, he's like, huh, I feel a lot better now. He goes and sits down. But what about the guy that was standing first in line? He's like, what? I ran all the way from my work. I didn't even take a cab. I'm like, you know, like a sprinter, Carl Lewis coming down the street. I'm dodging through people, zigzagging my way through the crowd so I can finally get to be first in line, so I can get the best seat on the subway. I mean, I'm here. This is my time. And the doors open up. Some guy Ralph's on me. Timing is an interesting thing. Jesus said that. Yeah, you never know about first and last. But here's one thing you know about, and I want to say this to you. I want to tell you something more powerful than timing: attitude. Attitude will always shape timing and circumstances, and now is an attitude. Here's Jay Leno talking about what happens when someone responds quickly and now. When I was a teenager, I scraped up money to buy an old truck. Every day after school, I worked on it, sanding, painting, buffing. As a present, my parents got me brand new upholstery for the seats. Then once, I slammed a door a little too hard and a window shattered. I didn't have any money to replace it, so I drove it anyway, including to school. My high school was a big flat building, and you could see the parking lot from many of the classrooms. One day, it began to rain. I sat in class and watched my truck and new upholstery get drenched through the broken window. Suddenly, I saw my mom and my dad tear into the parking lot. They screeched up next to my truck and dragged a huge piece of plastic out of their car. Then, in the pouring rain, they covered up my truck. Dad had left his office in the middle of the day, picked up Mom, bought this huge piece of plastic, and saved my seats. And I watched him do it, and I just started to cry right there in class. Now. Like, when you have a now attitude in life, look in your notes, and let's see how the Bible says now attitude. I am sprinting toward the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus the Anointed. All of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. For now, let's hold on to what we've been shown and keep in step with these teachings. See, God, if you stay connected to Jesus, you've maybe done this. You've played this game, when then? So you're like, well, when this happens, then I'll do. But see, when you're walking with Jesus, you could have something entirely different than that. When my parents agree with my decisions, when my boss gives me a raise, you know, when I find a good study partner, when I find a man that'll treat me like I want to be treated, that's the win-then game. Then I... Now, if you stay connected to Jesus, there's no win-then. It's you and him doing cannonballs. I want you to meet some friends of mine. They live in San Diego, but they're part of the East Lake Church Network. They cannonballed in a few years ago. It's kind of cool to see what God has done in their life. This is Jeannie and Eric. Check them out.
We started coming to East Lake Church through our kids. They were attending the Children's Center here, and we heard that they were going to chapel, so we decided to check out the service.
We were in a place where we definitely were broken. We, financially. There was this month-to-month lack of margin that really existed. And it was not God first, it was
self-centered.
Very self-centered. Yeah. I can easily say that even in our relationships and all in different levels, it was my job, then my kids, then my wife, then God. And now it's the complete opposite. It's God, my wife, my kids, and then my job. We found community, and we found community in the people that we meet, whether it be in growth groups, study groups. I remember one of the things we were really stretched to do was to tithe. And coming from a Catholic background, what I was used to was, you know, I was given a dollar. $5 and dropping it in.
$50 was a stretch.
$50 was a huge stretch.
So we've learned to tithe. It says it in the Bible, you tithe 10%. And overcoming that hurdle became easier and easier, and we knew our next step was to be generous. So the Cannonball Initiative, it's way more than just about money and what you can contribute financially. It's really a heart check. If you feel that little nudge, then that is really the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I would take that moment to pray by yourself or pray with a spouse and really think deeply, what does God want you to do?
When you take the leap, it's painful, maybe, but that's okay. It's freeing. And it's not about us. It's about how can we contribute to his bigger plan. It's not our plan. And we want to be obedient in that way. And we do that with a full heart. Well, I'm excited about the amount of people that this is going to reach. Mm-hmm. and really share the good news of Jesus. That's what I'm excited about. Cannonball is really stretching us to really think differently. Mm-hmm. And not think about ourselves. The mission of Eastlake is really people helping people find and follow Jesus. So we're on board.